All right, let's take our Bibles tonight and turn to the book of Ephesians chapter 6. I'm going to start a new series of messages here on Wednesday nights, and we're going to study the Christian armor that is given by the Apostle Paul here in chapter 6 of the book of Ephesians, and it begins in verse 10 and goes down through verse 18. We will start a new study tonight on the Christian armor out of Ephesians 6. I'm going to entitle my message tonight and probably next week and probably the week after that. I've fallen and I can't get up, you know, it's one of those deals. But I'm going to call the message tonight, the call to battle, the call to battle, because we are certainly in a battle. There is absolutely no doubt about that. We always have been. It's important that we understand what is said about that battle and also how we can be victorious in the battle and what we need to do. So we'll begin here in verse 10, and I'll read the scripture, and then you follow along as I read. I want to get you familiar with these verses and have them fresh in your minds as we do this study. All right, verse 10 says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth." All right, now notice there are seven pieces of armor that we put on. And right there's the first one, it's truth. "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with," number one, truth. And then secondly, "and having on the breastplate of righteousness." Number three, "and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace." So number three is simply the gospel. Verse 15 or verse 16, "and above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked." And then number five is in verse 17, and he says, "and take the helmet of salvation." And then number six, "and the sword of the Spirit," which is the Word of God. So that is the Bible. You got to have the Bible. And then number seven is in verse 18, "praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for the saints." All right, so I want us to start tonight with the call to battle, the call to battle. Let's pray and ask the Lord to bless and help us, and then we'll continue on. Let's pray. Our Father, thank you now for the opportunity to open your eternal precious word. And I pray that you will bless tonight as we begin this study on the Christian armor. And Father, help us to understand the conflict that we're in. Help us to realize that there is a conflict. And Father, help us to understand what is our role and responsibility in this conflict. And Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit of God will take each and every one of these lessons that we give on Wednesday nights and apply them. And Father, help us to hide your word in our hearts so we won't sin against you. So Father, bless, give us your richest blessing, give us understanding, and we'll thank you and praise you for all the wonderful things you do. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. All right, I want to begin tonight. I don't know how long it will take us to go through this, but however long it takes is however long it takes. I'm sure it will be more than a few weeks. It probably will be more like a whole lot of weeks, but we shall see how it unfolds, all right? But I want us to study Ephesians 6, dealing with the battle that all of us face as believers. And that battle, of course, is against the devil and all of his emissaries. I'm convinced that most believers do not realize how urgently important it is to grasp and understand the teaching of this particular part of Scripture, this Christian armor. I'm just not convinced that we are as aware as what we ought to be. Paul kind of takes for granted that that we ought to understand that there's a struggle going on. And he just comes at it straight, just right down the line, doesn't mince words, and tells us that we are in a fight. We are in a fight, the fight of our lives against the devil. You see, if Satan had his way, he would destroy all of us. He knows he cannot touch your eternal soul. He knows he can't touch that. Your soul is in the hand of Christ, all right, or the hand of God, and then Christ is over top of that. And Jesus said, nothing can pluck you out. You are safe and secure in the Lord Jesus Christ. All right? But if the devil can knock you down and then keep you there, well, then you're not going to be an influence and a witness on somebody else. And you're not going to tell somebody else how they can have their eternal soul saved from sin. And so if he can knock you down and then keep you there, then he'll do it and rejoice in the process. And so we need to understand that this is the struggle. Satan does not want you to know how to win another soul to Christ. The devil does not want you to memorize a soul-winning plan. He doesn't want you to execute that plan and ask some lost sinner, if you were to die today, do you know for sure where you'd spend eternity? He just doesn't want you being a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that's why there is this struggle, this fight, this battle, this spiritual warfare that is constantly going on. Now, if you don't think that there is a battle, then do a little test here, all right? Go down next week and join the Soul Winners Club and just watch your week unfold. The devil will beat the tar out of you. You say, well, I don't want that happening to me. It'll strengthen you in the process if you stick with it. It'll make you a better person all the way around, make you a better Christian all the way around. But if you don't think there is a real conflict, then you just start doing something for God. And you'll soon find out that you're in a battle. And the devil does not want you to do anything for the Lord. So this section of Scripture, it really has nothing for the lost person. This was not written for a lost person. This was written for a saved person. So we will understand the battle. This is only written for the believers, for the redeemed, only for those who know the Lord Jesus Christ as personal Savior. You see, the unsaved world does not believe in a spiritual realm. They don't want to think about it. If they do believe in it, it's most of the time something that they have stumbled into, and they study the wrong side of this unseen battle. You know, everything that God has, the devil has a counter for it. And so there is this constant struggle going on. You've got God on one side and Satan on the other side, and it never stops. It never stops. The devil is always going after God, always. And how does God, does the devil go after God? Through us. Through us. And we need to realize what the devil's doing. Let me give you another little test, if you will. And I know many of you have noticed this, but you wait, especially on a Sunday morning, when I start drawing in the net, all right? I've preached the message, given the word of God, and now we're heading into the invitation. And you'll notice, all of a sudden, there's about a half a dozen people who all of a sudden have to go to the bathroom. Now, they've been sitting there for 45 minutes, but they can't take it any longer, evidently. And so one gets up, and then the other says, oh, well, I'm going too. And then they get up, and then one over here, and then one up there, and one up there. And the next thing you know, everybody in the building takes their eyes off of right here, and they watch people going out the door like they've never seen that before in their whole life. Yeah. The baby starts crying right at invitation time. All right, phones go off right at invitation time. Whenever you see that or hear that, you ought to pray extra strongly, because somebody is being spoken to by the Holy Spirit of God, and the devil knows it. And so he starts throwing the distractions out there. It's unbelievable. Somebody will start snoring. Now you think I'm joking. I'm not joking. You know that. You've heard it. You've heard it. In the church I was in out in Illinois, I was praying, and this one fellow on the second row, he sat down. Everybody else was standing, but he didn't want to stand, so he sat down. And so in just the brief time that I was praying, he fell asleep. And when he did, he went forward like that and banged his nose right here on the bridge of his nose, right here, on the pew in front of him. And the blood just started gushing out of his nose. And so his wife was a character, all right? And when she heard it, she looked over, and then he looked up at her, and the blood's just gushing out. Well, she got tickled. Now, isn't that awful? Man standing there bleeding, gushing out of his nose, and she's laughing. And got everybody around her laughing. You never know, folks. I mean, you just never know. But please understand that the devil knows his business. And whatever he can do, either crack somebody up laughing, get a baby to cry, get a phone to ring, you know, somebody's text signal goes off, he'll do whatever he can do. He knows what he's doing. Now, folks, listen, the unsaved world does not comprehend what some pastors, preachers, some authors, some scholars from the past have called the conflict of the ages. And that's what it is between Satan and God. It's the conflict of the ages. Now, the conflict of the ages is the great war that takes place every minute of every day between the devil and God Almighty. The world has no idea, no understanding of this battle. Do you remember when James talked about wisdom in the first chapter? You remember that? You remember what he said? If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. Now, what's that mean? That means God's not going to scold you for asking. He's not going to scold you for asking for wisdom. So there's godly wisdom. And we get that from God. But then there is a worldly wisdom. There is a wisdom that comes right out of hell itself. And that's the wisdom that you hear spouted by those who go against the truth. They go against what's right, what's true, what's faithful, what's just. You see, there's wisdom in some of those arguments. Now, not to you and not to me. I mean, I listen to these liberal politicians arguing for their point, and I shake my head and wonder, how in the world did you get so dumb? Amen. You know? Well, I tell you how. It's the devil's wisdom, not God's wisdom. You know, I used to think that way, but I got saved. Yeah. Yeah, I got saved. And it's amazing what getting saved will do for your mind. It'll straighten up your thinking. That's what it'll do for you. And so this conflict of the ages, listen, the world does not understand that this is a constantly raging struggle that goes on between good and evil, between God and Satan. And to them, this conflict is, it just doesn't register. But with the child of God, we need to understand that this is a real event. This is something that is real, and it happens every single day. Folks, when you see Congress sitting down arguing about the issues, when you see them arguing the issues, now, let's just be honest about it for a moment. Would you just set politics over here for just a minute? And let's just be honest for a moment. How many of you would like to see the illegal aliens who are criminals, and we know they're criminals, rounded up and sent back to where they belong, where they came from? Yes. That's common sense, is it not? Well, evidently, common sense is not very common anymore. And so when you see them arguing, what are you for? Well, I don't know about you, but, I'm for truth, and I'm for righteousness, and I'm for law. The rule of law. And the laws have been on the books for decades. Decades. What ICE is doing now has been on the books for eons. And it's funny, when Obama was doing it, they were all good with it. Nobody had a problem with it. But now that, orange man bad, now that Trump's doing it, he's the Antichrist. And then that nut Nadler, that guy, something wrong with that man. Something's wrong with him. And he gets on there and says that people ought to bring a gun to the protest to defend themselves against ICE. Well, I tell you what, if you bring a gun and they see it, you're toast. You're toast. It would be the same thing if I took a gun, or if you took a gun. Doesn't matter. You just don't go up to law enforcement carrying a gun and protesting with a gun in your hand. You're going to get shot. Duh. It's not that complicated. And they're going to have blood on their hands if they don't stop this foolishness. Now, where do they get the wisdom to come up with this stuff? Well, it doesn't come from God. So there's a battle going on, folks, and it is a battle for who's running what. And there's a devil that wants to run the world. He wants to run it right into hell. And then there's God, who wants to run the world to truth. And that's the struggle that we're fighting. We see the evidence of this conflict every day of our lives. And we will not see. Now, if you look at verse 12, you'll see here Paul said, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. In other words, your enemy is not another human being. All right? Your enemy's not man. Your enemy is not me. Your enemy is the devil. And how is he defined here? Paul says in verse 12, against principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Spiritual wickedness in high places. And of course, what we see, we don't see the principalities. We don't see the devil. Folks, listen, the devil is not going to come at you with a forked tail, a red suit, and a pitchfork in his hand. You're never going to see the devil that way. You say, well, then, how's he come? He comes as an angel of light. All right? He comes with a smile on his face, using people. Using people. Deceived people. Yeah. That hurts, doesn't it? So I can't believe you said that. I did. Because it's true. It is right down the line. If we had any idea how many people Satan has deceived into thinking they're saved when they are as lost as a ball in a cornfield. That's right. We're going to find that out one of these days. And when we do, I'm going to point my finger at everybody and say, see, I told you. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. But you're not going to see principalities. You're not going to see the powers. You're not going to see the rulers of the darkness of this world. You're not going to see the spiritual wickedness in high places. But what you will see is the carnage and the ruin and the devastation and the evidence of this conflict that rages all around us. Now, folks, listen. There is, and this is what even a lot of Christians don't understand. You understand it because I've taught it to you before. There is a seen world. We all know that, don't we? We're looking at the seen world. The seen world is everything you see. So there is a seen world, but wait a minute. There's an unseen world too. Now again, you're not going to see the characters. You're not going to see principalities. You're not going to see spiritual wickedness in high places. You're not going to see that. You say, well, then how do you know it's there? God says it is. And we see the evidence of how that unseen world governs, listen to me, governs the affairs of the seen world. What do we know about Satan? Well, we know he's a liar, right? How do we know that? How do we know that Satan is a liar? How do we know that? Because the Bible tells us so, right? We know that Satan is a murderer. Anybody ever see him commit murder? No, you haven't, have you? But you know he's a murderer. Why? Because the Lord Jesus said he was. Jesus said he was a murderer from the beginning. A liar from the beginning. A deceiver from the beginning. And he's still doing it today. But yet, we don't stop to realize that this battle is going on. Now, we can see the world going on around us, but we cannot see with our physical, literal sight this battle raging. Can't see it. Look carefully, please, at verse 12. He said, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Do you see that? Now look down at that little word, the last word in verse 12, places. Now what do you notice about that little word, places? It's in italics. What does that mean? Well, that means that there is not an English word or phrase which literally translates, that you could literally translate to convey the thought that the Holy Spirit had in mind. All right? So what the King James translators did was they read it and they said against spiritual wickedness in here's what it literally translates. In the heavenlies. All right, in the heavenlies. But they knew that you and I would read that and we would just kind of look at one another and go, where's that? The heavenlies? Where's that? You know, kind of spooky stuff, you know. Stuff you can't see, you know. Spooky stuff. Oh, the heavenlies. So they put spiritual wickedness in high places. All right, now go back to chapter 1. Go back to chapter 1 of Ephesians. And here's why they translated it like they did back here in chapter 6. Look, please. At verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you and peace. There's the Siamese twins of the New Testament, grace and peace. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now watch. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed who? Who's us? God's people, the believers, yes. Who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. You say, now, well, what's he saying there? Well, here's what he's saying. He's trying to get you to see the contrast. The same word is used in verse 3 and in chapter 6, verse 12. Same word. Here it is translated in heavenly places. Over here in chapter 6, it's translated spiritual wickedness in high places. He didn't want to call it heavenly because he's talking about spiritual wickedness. But it's the same word in verse 3 as it is in chapter 6, verse 12. So what does that mean? What he's saying here is that God blesses us in the heavenlies, in the space above. Folks, listen, if I could peel the layers off of our eyes so that we could see what's happening right now in the heavenlies. I'm talking about what's right over our heads. I'm talking about what's going on in here right now. Right now. If I could peel the cataracts off your eyes so that you and I could see it, it would scare the living daylights out of us. Yes, it would. I'll tell you what, if you could see it, you'd never miss church again. You'd never go a day without reading your Bible. You'd never go a day without prayer. Because you see, these, the Bible, prayer, faith, trusting in the Lord, I mean, all these are the armor that we put on. And so if you could see, if we could see with our literal eyes all that is happening right now, just over our heads, and see that unseen world, it would drive us to the feet of our Savior. And we'd never want to leave. So that's in the heavenlies. And that's the battle. That's where the battle takes place. That's where it happens, right there. In the heavenlies. Paul says that Satan, the devil, uses these principalities and these powers and the rulers of darkness and spiritual wickedness. He uses all that, and it's right here. It's right in front of us. It's going on constantly. You know, invitation time. And that little baby has slept through the whole service. And the devil knows that somebody over here on this side's getting under conviction from the preaching of the Word of God. And so right up here, spiritual wickedness shows up and just pinches that little baby right on that little fat part of their leg. Yeah! You think they're dying? Yeah. Been laying there just good as gold the whole service. Right down to the invitation. Boom. Boom. Phone rings. Right at the invitation. You say that's coincidence, but isn't it an amazing coincidence that it happens all the time? Huh? You can call it whatever you want. But I'm telling you, folks, there's a real battle, a real struggle, the unseen realm. But there is a constant struggle in the heavenlies just above us. In the heavenlies, just above us, an unseen realm where conflict and battle rages. Listen, folks, half of winning the battle is understanding the enemy. And I'm just afraid that there's a lot of Christians that, well, I never thought of that. Yeah. But see, if you don't ever think about it, then you don't ever have to feel like you have to fight it. Right? But that's how it works. We'd pray more, we'd read our Bibles more, we'd not be playing on our phones during the church service. I'm going to set a date for retirement one of these days, and then as soon as I set that date, I'm going to start saying, hey, put that phone up. Might as well. What are you going to do, fire me? Put the phone up. Oh, it drives me crazy. You say, well, I use mine for with the Bible on it. You'd be a whole lot better off if you carry a Bible. And a whole lot better off you take notes and write in your Bible. Underline verses, circle verses. So that you can go back later and drill it into your mind. Now, I know I made half of you mad right now. But you'll get over it. Most of you do. Not all of you do, but most of you do. All right, real quick, we got 2 minutes. Go back to the book of Daniel for just a moment. Daniel. It's like a little boy in Sunday school said, Daniel, channel 10. All right, so Daniel 10, you there? All right, now look at your Bible here. Look at verse 10. The Bible says, and behold, an hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright. For unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Then he said unto me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard. And I am come for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, in other words, one of the archangels, all right, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. So this angel, Daniel's praying, all right? Daniel is praying. Daniel shows us this conflict here. Daniel is praying, and nothing happened. I mean, Daniel was a man who, when he prayed, was used to whatever he was praying for happening. Well, he's praying here. He's been praying now for 21 days. Nothing. And then finally, this angel that God sent to, remember now, they're messengers of the Lord. And this angel came to get Daniel's prayer, bring it back to heaven. But as he was coming, he was stood up. He was confronted by a powerful demon, much stronger than this angel was. And he withstood and kept that angel away from Daniel for 21 days. And finally, this angel had to get Michael, the archangel, to come and clear a path so he could get to Daniel to get the prayer request and take it back to heaven. You see the conflict, folks? Now, where'd this happen? Daniel didn't see it happening. Oh, I'm sure he felt the conflict because he's sitting there saying, wow, man, when I pray, stuff happens. I've been praying for 21 days here. I got nothing. Something's wrong. Yeah, it's called a conflict. It's called a battle. And it's the real deal. So Daniel shows us this conflict. And this angel had to come. Now the point is, if we do not understand the nature of the conflict that we are in, then we're already doomed to fail. And the truth is, most Christians do not understand the war that they're fighting. They just don't get it. Realizing the war, realizing the struggle, the conflict, that's only half of the battle. So what's the other part of the struggle that we need to understand? Well, we'll stop right here and pick that up next week. All right? But you understand what I've said so far? Hey, we're in a fight, folks. We're in a fight. You say, well, you know, I've been praying for my children and nothing's happened. Don't quit. You know, the devil doesn't want your prayer answered. You know, I've been praying about God's will for my life and I got nothing. Don't quit. Whatever you do, the answer just might be right around the corner, you know? So don't give up. Don't quit. All right, so that's the conflict. That's the call to battle right there. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you now for our time together tonight, and I pray that what has been said has been effective, and Father, you help us to hide this in our hearts so we won't sin against you. And Father, help us to realize the struggle. Help us to understand that there is a constant warfare and we need to get a grip on how this thing works so that we can get closer to you and so you can use us for your honor and glory. So bless your word now, Father, we pray in Christ's name. Amen.